Welcome to part 2 of our interview with Mickey Mays. Walk us through your headspace during the 5-4 bluff with Garrett Adelstein.
So I was very bored, and before the cards were dealt, I committed in my head to play a big pot. I just wanted some action. And the cards I was dealt actually wasn't a terrible bluffing hand. I had low connectors, so I could easily have the hidden nuts. And I made a big pre-flop open. Everybody folded except for Garrett, so I isolated him. So if his cards don't hit, then he would have to fold any future bets, which was a great spot to be in when I knew I had intended on bluffing if I missed. It also allowed me for an easy exit, you know, if he applied enough pressure back. Mm-hmm. And the cards came not in my favor, which I would have to fairly assume were his favor. And I wanted to put some feelers out to see how strong he felt about his hole cards. So when the flop came, they were not in my favor, which meant they must have been in his. I made a bet. He raised. I called. I didn't feel he made an overly aggressive bet, so I thought he was putting out a feeler. And when he saw that I called quickly, probably it lowered how strong he felt he was sitting with his hand. When the turn came, I bet again. He called, and he didn't raise me again, which means he was probably on a drawing hand or hoping to see my reaction on the river. So he flat called only, the river came, and I barreled, and he folded. And it happened exactly the way I thought. The run out on the board, he would have to have only a couple of some very specific cards. There were two specific cards, really, that would give him a hand that he was guaranteed to call with. So I was betting on the fact that he didn't have one of those, and I felt that he didn't have one of them based on the betting that took place during the hand. Okay. Win or lose, I really just wanted some action. I was pretty bored at that time.
Did you make the play just because it was Garrett on the other side of the table?
It wasn't a personal thing about against Garrett. It could be any player. When I made the pre-flop open, there were 7 or 8 other players still holding cards. Any of them, or all of them, or a few of them could have called, and I would have been in the same position when the flop came. It just happened to be that I was capable of isolating Garrett in that particular spot. Most of the players at that table were either professional or close to professional players, so I think that they all would respond the same, which would have inevitably been a fold, and I would have won the hand with a bluff. Basically, no matter who the player was, I think the better the player, the more they would have seen the story I was telling, because they would be able to put themselves in my shoes.
You say poker is boring. Why do you think that?
It's a very, very boring game. It's like playing chess. You know, you don't play chess for excitement. You know, poker is a boring game. It's long, it's drawn out, it's frustrating. You have to rely on luck often. So even when you're playing with the optimal skill, if luck is not in your favor, then you wasted all the energy using your mental bandwidth and brain capacity. It's just a boring, long, drawn out game. It's not very exciting to play. It's not very exciting to watch. It's not a bad thing that it's boring, by the way. There's a lot of boring people. There's people that like boring things. There's people that have other boring jobs. It's not bad that it's boring. It's just not my preference. I like exciting. I like exhilarating. I like intense. Imagine how boring it is to watch poker. It's more boring to play poker because you can't even like look at your phone or look around or get a snack. You're just stuck at the table for 8 to 12 hours. I do consume a lot of poker. You know, when I feel like not being excited, when I feel like staying calm, when I feel like sitting on my couch for extended periods of time, watching poker is a great fill. But to create that as the baseline for my life, I think I'm setting myself up for a boring life.
So why do you think people play poker if it's so boring?
Well, I think people are boring. I think that most people are average. By the definition of the term average, most people are average. So what I think is exciting would be considered average if everybody did it. Most people are average. And average is not exciting. If it was exciting, then exciting would be called average.
Would you say the same about every other casino game besides Baccarat?
I think almost every other game is exciting. I think blackjack is the most exciting. It's a savage game of just degeneracy and aggression and money in and out. And because you have to bear losses in blackjack, you have to have losing hands. You're going into it knowing you're putting so much money on the line, a brand new car or a house or whatever it is, knowing you're probably going to lose that hand because you have to be able to bear losses in that game. So it's such a different state of mind. It's such a different game. It's a different beast. I mean, I'm allowed to max bet 75K in blackjack and I flat bet. I know that I will have losing hands and it's exciting. I'm saying here's $75,000. I can't wait to lose this hand because I believe on the next hand I'm likely to have a double or a split and win 150 or 225.
What is one of your guilty pleasures?
You know what I am addicted to? Watching people play Plinko. You know what Plinko is?
Plinko.
Plinko is a type of slot game. It's usually on online casinos. It's like a big triangle. And it has all these like prongs in it. The prongs make the shape of the triangle, like all throughout. And you pay a dollar amount per ball. So $1, $10, $100, $1,000 a ball, whatever, that's your bet. And when you click the button, the ball falls from the center of the triangle. And depending on where it lands and which prong, you'll either lose money or you'll win what do you call it? A multiplier. So like if you spend $100 on a ball and you hit the button, you spend the $100, the ball comes down and it'll either land in 0%, which means you lost $100. It'll land in like half a percent, which means they pay you 50, but you also lose 50 because you spent 100. It'll land in 10x, so now they'll pay you $1,000. It'll land in 100x. Now you got, whatever that is, I don't know, $10,000, or it'll land in 1,000x, you got $1,000,000. For a $100 bet, and you could change how big you want to bet the ball. But it goes down the triangle, and you're always rooting. You're like, go wide, because the wider it is the bigger the multiplier. It's like ASMR. I just enjoy watching it. I can't help myself. I find it mesmerizing. I just love watching it and rooting for the ball to go wide. I want to see these people win.
Since poker is boring to you, what gives Baccarat the edge?
It's a savage game. Fast-paced, heavy-hitting, aggressive. It's a gnarly game. It takes 30, for me, I bet $250,000 a hand. It takes me no more ever than 30 seconds to find out if I just won a quarter million or lost a quarter million. And it's in your face. You put the money and then you're helpless to the cards. And it's exhilarating. When you go skydiving, it's exhilarating. You've jumped out of a plane, you are fully helpless to gravity and inertia, and you are just floating down to earth at exuberant speeds. You're either plummeting to your death or to an exhilarating experience where you land on your feet. Putting the money in Baccarat when you slide your chips is the same thing as when you step one foot right over the edge of the plane and you're like, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. And then boom, you just go. You let go of the money, it's out, and now you're just plummeting to earth at so fast. And that's what it's like to bet on Baccarat. Poker's long and drawn out. It's like taking the stairs down from the plane back to the earth. Boring. Who wants to do that? I want to go fast. I want it now.
You have over 1 million followers, but don't call yourself an influencer. Clearly, people love your content. Why?
A guy who would beat the casino beyond these MIT geniuses and whoever else probably would assume to have a certain aesthetic. And I think I am polarizing and the opposite. And so I think it was such an interesting mix that it gained a lot of people's interest. And they were like, we want to know more. And the more they asked, the more I told, and the more interesting things they found out about me. And they just were super engaged. And I think not as much my physical appearance as more my aesthetic or style is very captivating. I show them like the insights to a unique lifestyle that most people were unaware existed. And I do it with this style that is my own, which is that I don't really care about these other things. I care about what I care about, and they are my own and they're personal to me. And if you don't like them, you don't have to watch. But people find it interesting, I think.
What do you truly care about?
What I care about is also very challenging to portray online, and sometimes I don't desire to share some of the things I care about. I care about learning. I really love to learn. I love to understand. I love to dissect ideas or concepts. I care about happiness. I care about experiences. I care about leaving behind something that can be utilized after my time. And that would be a way of extending my life at the sole purpose of benefiting for the greater good. If I can leave something behind that people that still, if I can leave something behind that still helps people after I'm gone, then I've lived more than just my life. Most people live one life, their life. But if they leave something behind that other people can also use, then that's the only way to live more than one life. When I die, I don't know if people will use my information, my guidance, my tools, my businesses, my charities. I don't know if people will use anything. There's no way for me to know because I'll be dead. But I think that's the best thing I can do. The most altruistic and pure thing I can do is spend my life making sure that even after I die, that my life was there to provide an opportunity for other people's lives. And that's the only way to live more than one life.
Do you do something to work toward your goal every day?
I'm a huge advocate for charities. My will, the majority, when I die, the majority of my estate will be donated to charity. I've been recognized at potentially being one of a particular charity's biggest donors, and that's the Innocence Project. I have like Shaken Hearts, you know, that foundation. And even if that doesn't last forever, if I can save or change any lives in the time that I do have it, then they'll be able to carry on, you know, a better state of life because somewhere along the way they were in contact with me. I do a lot for the homeless. I do a lot for people with mental illness and addiction. I built a school, kindergarten through eighth grade. They opened up last year. I also built a synagogue, also in New Jersey. And I think by doing things like that, those things will be utilized and help improve people's lives long after I'm gone. And if I'm right, then my life's purpose was correct.
People say it's Mickey Mays the gambler or Mickey Mays the baccarat player, but it turns out it's just Mickey Mays who cares.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just some guy, and I'm learning every day my likes and dislikes and my desires and distastes. And every day I have new ideas, and every day I have old beliefs.
What's next for Mickey Mays? Any big moves on the horizon, either in gambling or otherwise?
I have three TV shows coming out this month. If you turn on Discovery Channel right now, I don't know if you have that in your country, but on Discovery Channel, oh yeah, if you turn it on, you'll see my face nonstop. I'm in all the previews for my new show. We are creating a bunch of other shows and movies. I started acting recently, so now I've already done, you know, shot a few movies, and I'm shooting more this year. So I'm doing like a lot of movies and TV shows. It's been really fun. It's been really cool. And again, I'm just like some guy. So the fact that like all these big movie stars are requesting that I be in the movie with them, or I co-star, or even when I have cameos, it's just so humbling, and it's really cool, and I'm having fun on this journey.
What's the name of the Discovery show where you'll be starring?
I think it's called Hustler, Gambler, Cheat. Multiple people throughout each season. Each episode, I think, has like two people in it, I think, something like this. But they, you know, I'm season one, episode one. Like, I, you know, it was my sizzle that helped land the deal with Discovery Channel. So I play quite a prominent role in the show, in the series.
So, Mickey Mays is turning to movies now?
Yeah, my IMDb just updated with one of the movies I just filmed. It's called When It Rains in LA, and it's a thriller, and it's about a murder that happens in Los Angeles, and then a series of unfortunate events surrounding the daughter of the victim while trying to find out who murdered the parent. So I play a character named Seth, and that was pretty cool. And I have, I think I am scheduled for four more feature presentations. I'm in four more movies this year, as of now.
Does your character get killed?
I don't know if I can say it, but...
From gambling to movies, how did your life take this turn?
It's funny how it happened. Somebody had saw me play poker on TV, and they're a movie producer, and they also enjoy poker. So they saw me, and they saw my enigmatic personality, and they thought I was very, encapsulating. And they reached out to... They got my information through the owner of the TV show that I play poker on. And he said, Will Smith and I have a movie about gambling coming out. Can we hire you as a consultant to make sure all the gambling scenes are accurate to gambling? And I said, no problem. And as we started going over the script, he just started to see, he goes, you know, you're like a natural role for one of the supporting roles. And I go, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're describing my lifestyle, you know, full-time gambling. And he goes, can I just offer you a role in the movie? It's, you know, one of the supporting roles. And I go, that's a major role. I'm happy to do it, but I'm not really an actor. He goes, well, why don't we do this? He goes, me and Will Smith are filming a different movie before this one. Why don't we give you a small role in the first one to see how you do on camera? And assuming you're good enough, then we'll keep you in this big role in the second film. And I said, yeah, of course, I get two for the price of one. Why would I say no?
Does this surprising turn of events excite you?
My mom keeps sending me screenshots of all her friends that didn't know I was on TV. And they're seeing me in all the previews on Discovery Channel. And they're freaking out to my mom. And my mom's really proud. And she's sending me these screenshots. And I see how proud my mother is, you know, and that's like really cool, you know?
Is acting difficult for a gambler? How do you really feel about the switch you are making?
So hard. Way harder than it looks. It's so hard. I'm so new to this that I couldn't even give advice. I have acting coaches, a lot of them. I have all these people helping me because I'm not a real actor. I didn't ever plan on being in movies. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, just having a good time. What I've done in gambling countless times has never been done before. I've changed the course of gambling forever. I beat Vegas, and Vegas had to adapt for that. I got banned for winning too much. I became the most famous gambler in history. I became the most influential gambler in history. I have partnered with the biggest stars on the planet because they love my personality, and they only discovered my personality by seeing the videos, that the original videos of me gambling. They were interested in the gambling. They looked more into me. They enjoyed my personality, and they would invite me with them to collaborate or partner on other things. And then that rolled into movies. There's never been a poker player in history that went from being a poker player to then being a movie star. Although there is the opposite. There are multiple movie stars who are now poker players. So I'm doing things in a way that's never been done before. And I keep changing history. And like, what an exciting journey this has been.
In this crazy mix, who has been your North Star? Is there a person who inspires you?
My grandfather, he passed away. He took his last breath while still holding my hand. He was the person that I think molded me the most, taught me the most valuable lessons and morals, and gave me the most... Just the way he lived, I think, directed me the most. It influenced me the most. But on a more detailed answer, I think my North Star changes depending on what thing it is I'm trying to conquer.
Do you have a current North Star and a role model?
No, I don't think I have a current North Star, and I don't think ever in my life that I ever truly idolize a person and want to build my life to be like theirs. I always wanted to have my own life with my own ideas and my own desires. So I would say that I don't now nor ever truly had a North Star. I want to live my own life.
Keep an eye on CasinoReviews.net so you do not miss any exclusive interviews with the stars of the gambling world.